Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Version of this song, Yoruba English, thank God for that. Hallelujah. We are blessed people, and that's a great thing. This morning, I contemplated speaking on something, and just about the time, I was about more or less leaving the house. I'd already gotten my scriptures ready. I had a diversion. And I alluded to what I'm doing today earlier on when I said that there are things that God will want me to teach. And I may not have enough time to prepare for it. So I'll be drawing a lot from the studies I've done in the past. And just trust God to help me in Jesus' name. There is this thing that we don't often talk about anymore in more like in the Nigerian Christendom. You find it more among the evangelicals. Among the Pentecostals, among the apostolic, we don't talk about those things anymore. And it should not be. Praise God. Now, this is like a continuation, or rather the basis for which the reward system is to be looked at. They're all interconnected in a way. I want to talk to us about the second coming of Christ. Praise God. Many of you may not be aware that Jesus is coming back. Some of us are aware, but somehow that thought has been pushed to the background in our minds. Glory to God. For some of us, the now is more important. On Friday, I asked us to pray that God will help us to live beyond the now and live also in the future and plan for the future and be people that know how to invest for the future. Amen. I guess this is why this is coming up this morning. Now, Jesus told us he was going to come back. We know he went. We know he has come. We know he has died. We know he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And we know he's seated upon the right hand of God in heaven. And for the past 2,000 year plus, he has not come back. In fact, the apostle warned us. Look at, can you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Are we there? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, this is what the Bible said the people are going to say. Verse 3, let me read from verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Who will come in the last days? Scoffers. walking after their own lusts and saying, now listen, there are scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Hallelujah. Everything has been stable. We can predict what's going to happen tomorrow. Hallelujah. We are enjoying peace and tranquility. And you kill joys. You know what that means? People who spoil your joy. They come around and they spoil everything. Praise God. You are rejoicing and you are having fun. And they say, Jesus is coming back soon. They just spoil everything. Praise God. Since the fathers went to bed, everything has continued as it was from the time of creation. Hallelujah. And I'm asking myself, have we started witnessing that yet? Have we seen scoffers telling you that? That means really we are not yet at the end. So somebody tells me that Jesus can come back anytime soon. And I'm saying, look, the signs do not agree with it yet. Praise God. But we're going to get there by God's grace in Jesus' name. When people will look at you and tell you to your face that Jesus is not coming, because everything around us does not suggest it. Listen to me, that somebody beheaded his friend or his girlfriend is not a sign of the end times. Are you with me? They've been doing it before Jesus came to the earth. Am I communicating? They've been doing it. So that's not what was used as a sign of the end times. But there's a sign that is also very important. One of it is that people will be lovers of self. That's what Paul said. He said, this is the thing, this is what we are going to see in the end. I said, perilous times will come. What is the reason for perilousness? He said, men shall be lovers of self. And when a man loves himself, he will do anything for himself. Praise God. So you see that, of course, beheading people and making themselves rich at the expense of somebody else's life is a manifestation of love for self. Do you understand? A man will kill a fellow human being because of his cow. Love for self. His own economic well-being. Hallelujah. So they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? You have been harassing us. Look at verse 5. Say, for this they willingly are ignorant of. In other words, they chose to be ignorant of a very fundamental fact. Listen to me. All the people who became scoffers were not born scoffers. In fact, I want to dare say that majority of the people who become scoffers were probably once in the church. They were once church people. They were people who had heard about the promise of his coming. They were people who are conversant with this doctrine. Praise God. Am I communicating? But they have tried to follow this teaching and they found that it was not paying them. And therefore they decided to discard it. And so when you come around to inform them, they respond by telling you these things, that where is this coming? Since the Father has left, it has all come. But the Bible said, they willingly are ignorant of this fact, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Praise God. You see, how many of you physically see God in your lives? When I say you physically see God, I don't really think many of us physically see God. In fact, it's possible to live your life for the next 80 years without God coming into your mind. Amen. Do you know, if you live long enough in the Western world, there are things you don't pray for. You don't even disturb God. It was abroad that I heard that when you want to fast, you drink tea and you eat cookies and you are fasting. Hallelujah. And before your fast is over, the answer comes. Hallelujah. But in Nigeria, you have to fast 7 days dry before you have a glimpse of an answer. I begin to wonder, what is the problem? Amen. God is training you. Glory to God. I tell you, in the last days, Africa will be better than Europeans. I was listening to a YouTube of Perry Stone this morning, and he was explaining the crisis that is going to hit the Western world, and it has started hitting them. They can't, there are certain goods they take it for granted, ice cream, all those things. Supply chains is disrupted. They will not begin to see all those things. They will start crying, hey, this world is coming to an end. And we are used to it. Amen. How many of you eat ice cream in the past 1 week? Ice cream is served for only very, 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 very special days. It's not in our menu. Amen. If you see ice cream to eat in 1 year, you should just bless God. It's a breakthrough. But to them, it is normal. Are you with me? Now, when those problems begin to hit them, their brain will start going up and down. But for us, it's no big deal. But God is going to help them. Say, the heavens were of old. So it's possible for you not to, it's possible to put God away from your life. And you will live your life successfully. You can't do that. But the Bible says you have deliberately chosen to be ignorant of that fact. This world that you and I see every day was created by a person called God. And it was created by the word of his mouth. And the earth standing out of water and in water, that's a different story entirely. Verse 6, the Bible says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now look at verse 7. It says, look at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, the ones you and I are seeing every day, they are now, by the same word, they are kept in store. For what? Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Amen. Every day you wake up, know that God is preserving this earth for destruction. He's not preserving it because of the righteous. He's preserving it because of the day of perdition and judgment. Praise God. And it's preserved by his word. So, don't think that though it is like that as it was in the beginning, so shall it be. No, it's one day, like they say in Nigeria, monkey will go to market, he won't come back. When that day is, no one knows. And so we find Jesus saying a lot about his coming. He said he's going to come back. You can take this word to the bank, it's going to come to pass. Matthew 16:27 says, when the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then you shall reward every man according to his works. So predicated, the issue of reward is predicated on Jesus' coming. Hallelujah. So the reason why you should pay attention, the reason why you should be serious with your life is that Jesus is coming back to reward everyone according to his works. Hallelujah. Whether you are righteous or unrighteous, he's going to reward everyone. The question therefore is, what kind of reward will you get? And so we spent most of our time showing you, to inspire you, to encourage you, that you can get something much better than is being offered to you now. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. And the Bible says he's coming back in the glory of his Father. Now, look at Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. When Jesus was ascending, the testimony of the angels. Are you there? And when he had spoken these things with them, he was talking with disciples, and while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11. And which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now, why did those angels make that statement? As I guess they made that statement, praise God. Hallelujah. Because they could read the thoughts of the apostles. You know, when somebody is going, say, hey, yeah, he has gone, our own is finished. no free food again. That centurion, I said, you should go and drop inside the ocean. When he was harassing us because Jesus was there, they were seeing all kinds of problems. And they said, why are you guys gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. Those are emphatic words. They are not lies. He said, as you saw him go, he will also return. Now, I've read a little science, and I know that beyond the earth is outer space. Praise God. Am I communicating? They have been spending billions of dollars looking for life in our solar system and beyond our solar system. And what are they looking for? They are looking for anything that has oxygen in it, because or water. If it can have water, then that means there is life. Praise God. And they have been spending billions. Now, the reason why they are spending all those billions, twofold that I can quickly tell you. Number one, they need to disprove the Bible. Because the Bible only said that life, as you and I know it, is only here on earth. Praise God. There is no life anywhere else in any realm of creation, apart from the life in the realm of the spirit. Is that okay? If you go to any planet, anywhere in creation, you are likely not to find anything. You are likely not going to find anything. But they said they will find. And they've been spending billions. And God will help them. Come and know. The second reason is that they want to leave the earth for you and I. Because we are third world. It's an insult that you should be living on earth with them. Praise God. Oh, we stay here. Praise God. All of us will stay here. Are you with me, church? But so when he said he will come back and your scientific mind goes into super activity, goes into supercharge, you go to how will he come through the universe? How will he pass? Where will he pass from? Where will he be coming from? Are you with me? And you know, ask those kind of interesting questions. I don't know how he's going to come. But one thing I do know, he's going to come. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me, though, that they will see the sign of the Son of God. Interestingly, I don't want to go into that, but the scripture says that when he will come back, he's going to come and he's going to slay the Antichrist and all that. If you go further into the book of Revelation, the battle, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. You remember? Where the armies of the East is going to fight with the Antichrist. That is when he's going to arrive. Hallelujah. And he's going to arrive, he's going to land on this same Mount Olivet. Isn't Mount Olivet, he went to Olivet, called that same mount, he will land on it. And the Bible says when his feet touches that mountain, the mountain will split into two. There will be earthquakes and all kinds of things. At the same time, he's going to take control and kill the first Christ that is posing himself as somebody. Hallelujah. I know he's going to come. But I know that their satellite will also pick him up. All this issue of UFO, they are prepping your mind up for an eventuality. They are trying to open portals to allow demon entities to enter the earth. And those are those entities they will call UFO. Why is it that it's only in America that they see UFO? Have you seen UFO in Nigeria? I've not seen UFO. They've not reported UFO. They don't come here. Only America, and only them they see them. You will know that they know some things are going to happen, and they are preparing for it. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So he's going to come back. The question, however, is how prepared are you? What preparations are you and I making? There's a lot to say under this. A lot to say. A lot to say. But majority of us, I don't know. Again, the problem is that it's not really an issue for us. The present is more important to us than tomorrow. Maybe because, again, when you are expectant and after a long time, your expectation appears not to be coming to pass, chances are that you will cast off restraint. Remember the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. Praise God. In the story of the 10 virgins, the Bible recorded that they all prepped up for the coming of the groom. Unfortunately, the groom delayed his coming, telling us that Jesus is going to delay his coming. Hallelujah. He's not going, because if you read the epistles, they kept saying that he will come, and as I'm talking to you, he can come now. After where Brother Paul was not talking about that. He said, there's a crown laid up for me. Amen. He was no longer talking about that. Look at what he said in 1 Thessalonians. I'll come back. Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. I beg your pardon. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. This is what Brother Paul was talking about. They expected Jesus' return during their time. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Verse 2. Please hurry up. For you yourself, hallelujah, for you yourself, because it's not going to be complete without you yourself, amen. Know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as what? A thief in the night. It is not the thief we have in Nigeria that write letters to you and tell you when they are coming. You know, that's not an original thief. That's the terrorist. For when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Amen. He was writing to them that they should not catch you guys unawares. But after a long while, he said, I fought my own fight. I have finished my race. There is a crown laid up for me. Amen. What's happening, Brother Paul? He didn't come. Because he had told them in the parable, said the groom will delay his coming. Peter now said it this way. He said, the patience of God is for people's salvation. Not that he is slack concerning his promises. No. It's that men can be saved. So, he delayed his coming. And after he became delayed, the Bible says, and the bride, Abby, those women, are they bridegroom or bride? Bride. Those 10 virgins went to sleep. The Bible says, at the midnight, everybody say midnight. You know, midnight is a time of complete darkness, where nothing is really supposed to be happening. When everything has gone silent, that was when the groom came. And when the groom came, they woke up the virgins and five that were wise, who had taken extra, they made extra preparation, went with him. Those who did not make any preparation were discarded. So what's the difference? Preparation. What are you doing? The five that were wise anticipated a long wait. Now supposing it doesn't come when they said it will come. Supposing it delays. Supposing, and they make adequate preparation and put those things in place. Of course, everybody went to sleep. Everybody went to take care of his own self. But those five were prepared for any eventuality. The question is, how prepared are you? Even if Jesus does not come on time. I'm be preaching to you, Jesus may not come for the next 100 years. Are you still prepared? The Bible said of this great man in the book of Hebrews, said they did not receive the promises. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw it afar and they received it. Are you able to keep believing in this promise and keep it in your heart until the day you are about to take your last breath and you are still saying that I believe Jesus is coming back and you are receiving his coming back? Therefore, those that say such things, what are you saying? What will you say? Will you spend all your life pursuing money? Spend all your life pursuing your own agenda and you throw away your own soul? Because I believe that even if Jesus does not come back in your own time, will you still hold on to that promise? Even if a scoffer told you that you have been talking about Jesus coming, of course, that's where the issue is. You have to learn how to start talking about it. Because if you don't talk about it, it tells me that you really don't believe in it. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, you know, I don't talk too much. That's your problem. That is what they call unbelief. Because if you believe it, you will talk. Amen. If you are really sure, you will tell somebody, do you know Jesus is coming back? If you tell a Muslim, do you know Jesus is coming back? The funny enough, a Muslim will tell you, yes, he knows he's coming back. Because they've told them the Christ is coming back. Amen. But the question is, are you prepared for his coming back? So what kind of preparation must you put in place for his coming back? So much to say. I don't have the time to go through it. But let us look at a few of it. God will help us in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 21, verses 27 and 28. Luke 21, 27 and 28. I will just look at a few of those things. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass. There were things he had said earlier on that he warned us about to pay attention to. So when you begin to see these things come to pass, what should you do? What did he say we should do? Say, look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near. Now, I want to bring an analogy here, or a parallel here. Look up is not that you keep walking like this. Praise God. Say, bros, why are you looking up? I'm expecting Jesus to come back. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss him when he comes back. That's not what the scripture is talking about. Remember Elijah and Elisha. Remember Elijah and Elisha. How Elijah asked him, what do you want me to give you? What do you want me to do for you? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, if you see me go, it's yours. Glory to God. And while they were talking, and I don't know what they were discussing, probably they were discussing politics, they were discussing the going on in all the nations, what king was doing, probably they were discussing all those things. And suddenly the Bible says, and a chariot of fire came and separated them. Praise God. And I've always wondered, you know, we used to sing about the chariots, we elogize the chariots, we are looking forward to seeing chariots. But I later on that the chariot was actually to distract Elisha. The purpose was not for him to elogize the chariot. If you fixed your attention on the chariot, you would have missed Elijah's departure. Praise God. So he didn't pay attention to how beautiful, how fiery the chariots were. He kept his attention of Elijah. And the Bible said, and we used to say that Elijah went in the chariots of fire. Have you not preached that message before? Or has somebody preached the message? Because later somebody preached and said, Elijah didn't go in the chariot of fire. And I said, what kind of nonsense are you saying? We have been preaching it, he went in the chariot of fire. Only to go back and check scriptures and find out the Bible says he went in the whirlwind. And when he was going up in the whirlwind, Elisha saw him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And the Bible says that the cloak, the mantle fell on him. Because he saw. Now the issue is this. When these things begin to happen, your problem is that your attention may shift and focus on those issues that will be bombarding the earth. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Many of us have the capacity to be attracted and to be captivated by what is happening around us. That you will lose focus of more important issues of life, which is what is heaven doing now. It's very easy to be distracted. Very, very easy. Amen. If while I'm here now and I hear Russia has invaded Ukraine, many of us will pick our laptop. Who has strobe bomb? Because I have children in Europe. Hallelujah. But where should my attention go to? The psalmist said, where will my help come from? Did you come from? He said, I look up to the hills. Abby? He now asked the question, where will my help come from? I think if I were to write that, I would have written, where will my help come from? Will it come from the hills? Praise God. Chances are that majority always look for the mountains for help, for refuge. But he said, but my help will come from the Lord. It takes a lot of discipline to shift your mind from the hills and shift it to God. That was the training all of Israel were supposed to learn throughout their history that they did not learn. Every time, you see, it was ordinary that God will allow massive armies to invade them. And the prophet will come and say, fear not. This is not your fight. I, the Lord, will fight for you. And you are saying, how will he fight for me? A God you do not see. Praise God. How will he fight? They said the Sabians, all of them were like sand of the seashore. What kind of technology do you want to use in this world of bow and arrows? You don't stand a chance. And I will never forget what Saddam Hussein said. He said, I can muster 1 million soldiers to battle with guns and ammunition. He asked the Allied forces, how many can you bring? If we take it one-on-one, I face pastor, we shoot each other, bam. By the time you calculate 1 million minus 400,000, how much is left? And America knew that this is not going to be the normal kind of war. Praise God. We can't fight that normal war. They will suddenly shoot power like Boko Haram and Nigerian Army. Shoot, dodge you. I was watching one video clip. Anambra, gunmen and bandits were fighting each other. The police got here standing beside them. They said, don't shoot from there. No training. They would have killed the commissioner. His boys that are shooting from there would have killed the ogre. No training. Just back, 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 back. You don't even know where you are shooting. No intelligence. So there's one out. Am I making sense to you this morning? Please. It takes a lot of discipline to shift our attention from what's happening around us. I was told of a story of a woman when England, London specifically, came under the German Blitz. They bombed the nonsense out of London. The German army bombed London. They bombed London to rubbles. This woman did not evacuate. She stayed in her house. Because she trusted in God. Bombs fell all around her. Her own house was the one standing on the street. She didn't leave. And God kept her house. That is great. But she didn't get there in one day. It has been a practice. Habitual behavioral pattern of trusting God. Your first response, is it God or the arm of flesh? The Bible told us when there was one time like that, the king, these people, three armies came against Israel also. And the king of Judah also went to Israel to go and borrow mercenaries. And the prophet came and said, oh king, don't let Israel go with you to battle, for God is not with them. I said, but I paid them a lot of money. He said, no, if you let them go, you and them will fall in battle. God said, I will make sure all of you fall. Amen. What kind of God is this? He said, but you see, we don't have anything to... He said, I will fight for you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth, looking for whose heart is steadfast with him, to make himself strong on their behalf. It takes practice. It doesn't come in one day. It's a conscious effort. It must be intentional that your first default response is look up and say, God, how far? I need help now. You have to practice, because when the major one comes, you won't be there to look up. Praise God. So much to say. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, verse 43 and 44. I'll just take one or two more and go. As you read the Bible, the Holy Ghost will enlighten you. There is a lot to prepare. But now this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44. Therefore, be ye also what? Ready. This is not something normal for us. And we see the way we prepare for exams. Abby? Many of you don't prepare for exams until it is announced. True or false? And that is where your adrenaline kicks in. And then you say, night classes, we will die there. Praise God. But suppose they never tell you that there's going to be an exam tomorrow. Will anybody prepare? Who is playing football today? Is it Crystal Palace and Chelsea? You go and watch your match. You now come to class, truly. And that bad lecturer just say, okay, we have settled down. God bless you. Welcome. Piece of paper, biro, test. Ah, we are not ready. Ah. That's the way God sets his own example. Said, be ye also ready. Praise God. Be ye also ready. That means there is no day you have any right not to be ready for a test or be ready for an exam. You know, it is actually, it takes a lot of mental energy to be constantly prepared. In other words, can you come to a place where you don't trust any lecturer? Amen. That this lecturer I don't trust him. He can bring test tomorrow when I meet him in class. So you are ready every time. What would they call you in class? A fiku. Amen. Bookworm. It's reading too much. Now only you day school. It is that kind of attitude you need to prepare for real life. Amen. The truth is that we have carried this, our wrong study attitudes, into real life situations. Praise God. Because nobody will ever tell you in life there's going to be an exam tomorrow. Then nobody tells. Usually I don't tell you. Nobody does that. If Saul had known the day they were doing an exam for him was go to Amalek, kill the other man, bring them back. If he had known that his future depended upon that, he would have behaved well. But they didn't tell him. Oh, who opened that message of that king? Elisha was about to die. He told the king, strike the ground. No, then first shoot arrow, Rabbi. He shot arrow. He now said, strike the ground. Did he tell him how many times was to strike ground? He didn't tell him. Did he tell him that the ground striking is related to a victory? Did he tell him? But he was doing an exam. In fact, that one was promotion exam. Final one. And the poor man failed. Why did he fail? Probably he was too busy with the affairs of life. That his perception and discernment were not sharp. Am I communicating to you? Look, we are all standing in perilous times. All of us are living in times of peril. No one of us is free. Me, God, I'm preaching, must also go and pay attention to my own soul. Because it's the own soul at risk here. Hallelujah. So he said, be ready. For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Even if I know that the signs are not there. Who told me the signs are not there? Suppose if these signs are being fulfilled in Ghana. I cannot be fulfilled in Nigeria. Who told you will not come? All he needs is a weakness in the heart. It doesn't have to be everywhere. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Somebody somewhere may just be coming into sonship and finishing the work that God wants them to finish. Praise God. And he will come. He will come. He won't wait for all of us to come into completion. He won't wait. I know that the Spirit of God knows what I is. Somebody told me that in India or China, there are pastors of about 17-year-old, 18-year-old that are pastoring thousands of people. And it doesn't make headlines. People will just come and give their life to Christ. And that guy will be their pastor. And he's doing it by the power of the Spirit. In China, they said, I'm going to use more time. Praise God. Just give me about 10 more minutes. Please. Amen. When I get there, you know the thing is, praise God. They said in China, they have this very mysterious way of doing things. There's this prompting in their heart, go to Giant IBK. And they all gather there, and there's a fellowship. And the person who's going to preach to them may come from nowhere. You just come and you preach because there's no Bible. And when it is time to go, the Holy Ghost will shut down the service. There's no time for, let us say, grace. People just turn around and the whole place will disappear. By that time, the secret service will arrive. They won't find anybody. Nobody announces. Nobody gives out notice. No, there's no SMS. They can we meet? No, they just gather. An American preacher said he went to China and there was no city. That's how they all gathered. And the man said they all stood in that hall like that. The person in front was like standing like this in front of him. And the whole hall filled. Lots of people like that. Praise God. And he was preaching. And when it was time, they told him, let us go. He didn't even say have closing remark. No. Moved by the Spirit. This is things that we are trying to achieve here, that those guys are walking in the reality of it. How and why? Pressure. Because this condition make crayfish bend. Because of pleasure, that's why we are still doing what we are doing. When they pressurize us, those gifts will come into existence. They will just find that you will start working in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So it is real. So I want to say to us, be ready. It will take time. It will take your conscious effort to take time to pray, to take time to study. But listen to me, you must be aware that Jesus will come like a thief. Well, Paul said it, said, don't let that day catch you unawares. They asked Jesus, when will you come back? He said, the day and the hour know no man. Please. Who is an agriculturist here? You're not Greek. Okay, let me say, not animal, real Greek that used to plant. So nobody is, okay. No, real plants, like plant maize. Okay, after you planted your maize, did you have on your calendar the day of harvest? Why? So how did you know the day to go and harvest your maize? Sorry, I didn't hear you. You saw the sign. A sign. So when you see this sign, know that it is around the corner. So it is your responsibility that in your preparation, you must be acquainted with the signs. Not the signs that they tell you where do you see that? In the which book? No, not book. That we see, like I said, they have one woman is marrying four men. Say, hey, whoa, the end has come. Did you read that in the Bible? I've scattered this thing. Is that a sign? They didn't put that as a sign. Amen. I don't know that you're with me. Look for the signs that are written in the scriptures. That is what you should look for. When those things begin to come to pass, that's a... The thing has scattered. It's just from my side. My hand touched it. I'll be out very soon. Amen. So, I want to encourage us. Let us pay attention. Let me take one more. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Verses 11 to 14, I beg your pardon. 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 14. Yes. Here, it said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness. There are things he said the man of God must flee from. One of it is the love for money. In these last days, let me say this. Praise God. We cannot do without money. But money must not control us. I don't know whether I'm making sense. We need it. We work for it. But it must not determine the choices we make. Is that okay? So Paul warned Timothy, be careful about money. Don't let the love of money or the necessity or the power. Now, love does not necessarily mean that you have an emotional attachment to it. Not so. It could also be a need. Praise God. It could be anything. But I don't know any of us that will not mind having more than we need. God. Hallelujah. I wish I can speak about money. The mystery of money. There's gross wickedness in this earth. When I say wickedness, this is Luciferian wickedness. And they're not just wickedness, they are wickednesses. Hallelujah. It's horrible. What they are doing and what they will still do. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. If you want to escape the spirit of the Antichrist, don't let money control you. Control you. If money can't control you, the Antichrist can't control you. But wealth, money controls you. But let me put this across to us. For you to know how bad your case is, please, when we take offering, drop all your money inside the offering bucket. And let us see how you want to survive between now and tomorrow. Praise God. That time you will know how useful money is. Glory to God. Money. Just imagine you not having money for one day. There's no money anywhere. And no money is coming from anywhere. And nowhere is coming with money. How worried? Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't worry yourself. Let me finish with this. We need money. But that is what is going to happen. Because if you can control your money, it can control your life. So you must come to a place where you can say, none of these things move me. Perish with your money. You must come to that. Yes, as much as you need it, it must not determine who you are. Praise God. I don't relate with people because whether they have it, they don't have it. Don't let that bother you. Amen. If you can work for it, get it, fine. But then again, I've seen vanity of vanities, says the preacher. For all is vanity. Go to Ijapo. There are many empty houses. The people who own it are dead. Their children are not in Nigeria. Nobody needs the house. Then you ask, why were the people who labored to build it, why did they build it? And if they didn't build it, the society will say, Olori Buruku. A no-win position. Do you understand me? So I can't tell you, don't build house. Build house. Praise God. Because if you have worked and lived with a landlord or landlady that has shown pepper to you, you know the significance of having your own house. But don't build house that you think that your children will inherit. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be well disappointed. For your children will swear that me live in this house, God forbid. Because their taste would have changed. When my father was building the house, I begged him, who will come and live in this house? He said, when you come with your wife and children, I said, hey, my wife, come and live in one room. Are you kidding me? Then the wrong will come here. The man was offended. He took it out to forgive me for my sin. But the house is there now. Nobody's living there. I don't think I learned my own lesson, really. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's a mission house. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let money control you. Don't let all these things. You see, you have to be free. You have to just free. If you can build it, build it. But if God permits me to grow up to 80, I will sell the house. I'm going to live in one bedroom apartment and my wife. I won't kill myself. I won't kill myself. I told my mother, sell your house and enjoy the proceeds. I'm telling you now, we fought from Lagos to Akure. She didn't spend 1 year since we said we sold the house. And everybody walked away with the money. My, you all suffer for nothing. God will give you wisdom. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness. What again? Godliness. What again? Faith. What again? Love. What again? Patience. What again? Meekness. Next verse. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and art professed a good profession before many witnesses. But next verse, hurry up. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Next verse. That thou keep these commandments without spot. Unrebukable. You know what it is to rebuke? Rebuke means they call you and say, nonsense, you did nonsense there. How did you do this thing? And then they are rebuking you. Praise God. Like, do your conduct your life in such a way that no one can rebuke you. Until when? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to continue until he returns. You cannot afford to let down your guard. You cannot afford to indulge in pleasures of sin. And say, Jesus, this one time, I swear I will do it again. I swear. Please, Jesus, let me just do one thing. It may be on that thing that Jesus will come back and meet you. And every good you have done, they will forget it. Oh, you say, Pastor, God is not that bad. Well, God will help you. Try it and let us find out. Whether it's bad or it's not that bad, we will know. But he has warned us. One more scripture, then I'll close. Praise God. Only God can help me. Praise God. This is part of the training of the end. Praise God. Jude 1, verse 21. It says, keep yourselves what? In the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto what? Eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Whatever you're going to do with your life, make sure you keep yourself in the love of God. People say this. It says, if God be for me, no one can be against me. That is true. But if God be against you, who will be for you? Do you follow me? The only reason God can be for you is if you keep yourselves in the love of God. Because there is an expectation in your heart that you want to meet Jesus without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing that may disqualify you from the kingdom. I commend it to his grace. I commend it to the word of his power, to the word of grace that is able to keep you and give you an inheritance among the saints in light. Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray that we will not forget that everywhere we go and wherever we find ourselves, we will remember that one day we will stand to give account. And above all, that we will stand to see you because you will come back as you promised. Let it be that none of us will be missing on that day in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. Help us to keep ourselves in your love because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.